Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
An old African-American song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Maybe you think that's the theme of your life. Well, the bad news is trouble is here to stay. But the good news is that God has solutions for every kind of trouble that you will face. In fact, I'd like you to take a look at a verse here that is so encouraging. And these come straight from the words of Jesus. And this is what he says. These things I'm speaking unto you, he says, that in me you will have peace. Because, look at this, in the world you are going to have tribulation. But cheer up, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world that is causing you the trouble, the tribulations, the problems you face. God has a solution for every trouble and every problem you face, so cheer up. And for the next few moments, we're going to see the causes of trouble, and then how do you handle trouble? Now, let's first of all learn that there are two kinds of trouble. First of all, there's avoidable trouble, and then there's unavoidable trouble. The nice thing about avoidable trouble is that it can be avoided. However, if we didn't avoid it, then we must learn how to handle it. And once trouble is here, we must learn the steps to deal with trouble so that it won't be any trouble at all. How shall we learn these things? I suppose we must begin with learning what the causes of trouble are. So, very quickly, in your notes, let's jot down the causes of trouble according to Scripture. Number one, transgressions cause trouble. Look at this Scripture. It says, the way of transgressors is hard. Now, somebody has mixed up this story because they have told us that being a Christian is a difficult thing to be. Not true. It is not hard to be a Christian. It's hard not to be. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He says, come unto me. My way is easy. God's way is the easy way. It's the way of the transgressor that is hard. Now, you know what transgression means. It means breaking the laws, breaking the rules. And the fact of the matter is, we never really break the laws. The laws break us. You can stand on the top of the building and jump off. You will not break the law of gravity. You'll probably break your neck. You see, when we break the laws, when we have transgressions, there are consequences that we suffer because transgressions cause trouble. Now, there are three particular kinds of transgressions that cause trouble. In fact, I'd like you to look at them. Here they are. In the Scripture in Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. The first major cause here is this thing called bitterness. If we transgress this commandment of the Lord to forgive others and don't forgive, we will get bitterness, and that bitterness will trouble us. And look at this. Not only will it trouble us, but many get defiled from it. A second thing that's listed here is fornication. And the third thing that's listed here is greed. These are the three kinds of transgressions that particularly cause trouble. The second cause of trouble is that other people who do evil, evildoers can cause trouble. And we must learn how to handle that kind of trouble, but let's look at it in the Scripture. Here's what it says. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation. Now look at this phrase, to them that trouble you. Other people can trouble you. And we're going to see the solution for that in just a moment. But let's go on. The third cause of trouble is when we go the wrong direction. That will cause trouble. You cannot run a good race on the wrong track. Now, when we go the wrong way, God has sort of set up difficulties or reproofs or troubles to let us know, hey, this is not the way to go. In fact, I think what we need to do is look at Scripture here and see exactly how this is verbalized in the New Testament. Paul said, I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into grace, the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Watch this. Which is not another. The reason you got there, though, is that there are those that trouble you by perverting the way, the gospel. And so wrong directions, if people point you the wrong way and you follow those directions, you're not going to get where you should be going. You're going to get trouble instead. Wrong directions cause trouble. Now, this fourth one is going to shock you. And maybe it won't. Maybe some of you have already learned that marriage causes trouble. Now, before you say, you're right, preacher, and I'm going to get out of this marriage because it's trouble, I want you, first of all, to look at this verse. But marriage does cause trouble. I'm going to show that to you in the Bible in just a moment. But before I show that to you, I want to show this to you. Look at the scripture. Are you bound to a wife? Then don't try to get loose. And if you're loose, don't try to get tied with one. You see, the solution for marriage trouble is never to get out of the marriage. That's not a solution at all. In fact, that's one of the major problems of our day, that we face trouble in marriages and we think the solution is a different person. And haven't we already proven it in this society that you go and you may get a divorce and marry someone else, but the same trouble is still there? Because you never found a solution to the trouble because you thought the problem was that particular marriage. The solution for marriage trouble is never to get out of the marriage. In a few moments from now, we're going to see the solution. But right now, let's just look at the scripture that affirms that with marriage comes unavoidable trouble. Watch this. If you marry, you haven't sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. But watch this now. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble. How does this trouble come from? If you marry, you haven't sinned, and neither does the virgin sin if she marries, but if you marry, you will have trouble in the flesh. You will have trouble. Marriage trouble is here. But God wants us to learn how to handle every kind of trouble, and especially these days, I'm sure He wants us to learn how to cope and effectively find resolution to marriage trouble. And I'm going to show you a great Bible insight for that in just a moment. But let's continue. Other causes of trouble. Christian convictions can cause you trouble. If you stand for something, you will always be tested to see if you're really standing for it, or was it just a nice idea you had? You see, convictions are beliefs that you stand for, that you fight for, that you're willing to shed blood for and, if necessary, die for. They are not just, well, I hold this view that can be changed by circumstances, but a conviction is something you're willing to live and die by. One of the difficult things of our day is that most people today don't live their life in accordance with a creed, but they choose a creed in accordance to the way of life that they want to live. When you have a conviction, however, you adjust everything to fit that conviction. And I suppose this is a good opportunity for me to ask you whether or not you have worked out a set of convictions. Do you have a set of beliefs that you believe in so radically that you would never compromise those convictions? If you haven't, I encourage you to do that. In fact, just for the asking, we'll send you, if you want. You can call or write us and get a free copy of our convictions. But there's always a price to pay for having convictions. And the price of having convictions is trouble, because people will test, circumstances will test those convictions. Troubles will come that will try to push you off your convictions and compromise. But let's understand, that God has a solution for dealing with convictions and the troubles, rather, that come from them. Let's look at this scripture. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the gospel. This is Paul speaking. Wherein I suffer trouble. When you believe the gospel, you will suffer trouble. People might mock you. People might laugh at you. Certainly, when you believe the gospel, it causes a radical change in behavior that may seem troublesome because you can't go along with the crowd because now you have convictions. Convictions, Christian convictions, can cause trouble. And then, this may not surprise you, but our mouths and our tongues can cause trouble. In fact, James puts it this way. The tongue is a fire. Look at the scripture. It's a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body. Look at it. It sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. I tell you, your mouth and tongue can get you into a lot of trouble. I'm sure I don't need to spend any more time on that. You probably know that real well. In a few moments, we're going to see, however, how do you handle the kinds of trouble that come from the mouth and the tongue. And then seventh, money shortage can cause trouble. Look at this scripture. He that is greedy of gain troubleth, not just himself, but his whole household, caused from money troubles. Greed causing money troubles. We're going to learn how to handle that. Well, let's get to the question. How do you handle trouble? And let's deal with each of these seven. First of all, transgressions that cause trouble. How do you deal with transgression cause trouble? And the answer is not complicated. It is simply this. Terminate the transgression. Stop transgressing. And here's why. We mentioned this. The way of the transgressor is hard. And since transgressions cause trouble, if you stop the cause, you stop the effect. You stop the transgression, you stop the trouble. That's the only way to stop the trouble, is to stop the transgression. Now, that isn't always easy to do, so let me take you a step further and show you a wonderful principle in the book of Daniel. And it's in chapter 4, and this is what he said. Break off thy sins by righteousness. This is restated in the book of Romans in a different way, and it says, overcome evil by doing good. So one of the ways to stop transgression is to start doing what is right, not just create a vacuum by stopping something, but to do right. Look at this scripture. Because the righteous is delivered out of trouble. The way to stop transgression is to do right. Now, by the way, look at this a moment longer. This word righteous here, who are these people? Who are the righteous? It's just the people that do right. If you do right, you will be delivered from trouble. And then, how do we handle the trouble that comes from evildoers, other people who cause us trouble? Now, I want to break this in two, because let's talk, first of all, about the non-Christian who causes you trouble. And the answer on how to handle that is really simple. Here it is. And this is surprising, I'm sure. Rest. Relax. Chill out. Commit to the Lord. You say, well, how? If somebody else is causing you trouble, how can you rest, relax, and commit to the Lord? The answer is in this scripture. Look at this. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense trouble to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, look at the scripture says, rest. Because now you say, well, how can you do that? And the reason you can do that is this, that if an evildoer is troubling you, if you rest and relax and commit it to the Lord will deal with the evildoer. The problem is that when somebody causes trouble and does evil to us, we retaliate. in so many different ways, spoken, unspoken, do things back, or pout, or silent treatment, or so many ways. But God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So if you know that God will deal with the evildoer who's troubling you, that's how you can rest. That's how you can relax and just commit it to the Lord, because God, look, the scripture says it's a righteous thing for God to give trouble to those that trouble you. So just relax, and that's how to handle trouble that comes from evildoers who are non-Christians. But what if the evildoer is a Christian? Now, I know this sounds like a contradiction. It should never be. Christians should not do evil to anybody, ever. But if a fellow believer is giving you trouble, we have to learn from Scripture to deal with Christians different than we deal with sinners. For example, Scripture tells us not to keep company with fornicators. And then it says, not the fornicators of the world, because then he'd have to take us out of the world. But if anybody calls himself a brother is a fornicator, we are not to keep company with him, not even eat with him. We treat Christian fornicators, which should never be, with isolation, but not true with a sinner who's a fornicator. But the thing I want you to get, though, is that we treat Christians who violate the principles of God differently than those who are in the world. Now, when a Christian causes you trouble because of evil doing, what we must do is we must reprove them and rebuke them for their evil speaking. Now, be really careful, because when I say rebuke someone, this is something that must be done with sensitivity and, most of all, with love. We are told in the Scripture to reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering. You see, the qualifications for rebuking someone else is that you love that other person. I've always wanted to teach a subject called Revolution Through Rebuke, because beginning in Leviticus 19:17, we are taught, thou shalt not suffer thy neighbor to sin, but thou shalt in any wise rebuke him and not suffer sin to come upon him. And we're taught to rebuke people, but it's difficult to teach somebody to rebuke if that other person that you're teaching has not, first of all, learned love. Because to rebuke without love is not to rebuke in a scriptural way. It's like the preaching of repentance without love is condemnation. And so we must be careful in rebuking. But look at what the Scripture says. There are many unruly, they don't follow the rules. That's what this word unruly means. And they are vain talkers and even deceivers, and they are among us. And the Bible says their mouths must be stopped. They subvert whole houses. So if a Christian is doing evil, speaking evil, we must reprove them and rebuke them. Number three, what about wrong direction caused trouble? How do you deal with that? And the answer to that, of course, is very simple. Follow the Word of God. This is the only way to know if you're on the right track, going the right way, by the book. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my pathway. To many, you see, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The fact is that the only way to be more spiritual is to be more scriptural. And if you are experiencing trouble because you're going the wrong way, the answer is go the right way. And how do you know the right way? It's in the book. That's why this scripture comes and says, hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And if you have any question, look what Paul said. He said, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We know we're going the right way when we're going by the book. And if you go by the book, you will avoid the trouble that comes from wrong directions. And then, how do you handle marriage trouble? And we've already learned from the scripture that if you marry, there is going to be trouble. Well, how do you handle that? And the answer from the scripture is not complicated. It's very simple. The answer is learn how to please one another. That's the only way to deal with marriage trouble. You see, we know that two shall become one, but the trouble comes when we try to figure out which one, his will or her will, my way or her way. Which way is it going to be? Well, God gives a very high priority to a married man and to a married woman. Let's look at the scripture. To the husband, look what he says. He that is married, if you're married, this is right after that verse about causing trouble. He that is married cares for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. If you please your wife, you will do away with most of the trouble. Now, I do understand there's some ladies watching, some married ladies, if you please. So I wouldn't want to miss your getting the other side of this. This is what the scripture says to the wife. She that is married, look at it, she that is married must care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And that will help cure marriage trouble. So what we've got is two people, instead of having trouble, he's pleasing her and she is doing what she can to please him. That's what gets rid of the trouble in marriage. The problem and the conflicts of marriage come when he tries to please himself and she tries to please herself. That's where the trouble comes. So God's solution to marriage trouble is very simple. That's why he doesn't let you escape, run off, get another woman, get another man, get another marriage partner, because that's not the cure. Because the problem will still be the same. You see, the problem is selfishness. And God's cure is to learn how to please somebody other than ourselves. So God designs marriage to be a lock-in, lockdown, cannot escape arena in which we learn these great secrets to please one another. Because if we learn that and make the marriage successful, the trouble won't be there. When children come along, they'll learn from the example of father and mother. And just think what happens to the next generation. They'll not have to go through very much trouble because they already will have learned the right way. Well, how to handle trouble? What if the trouble comes from Christian convictions? And the answer here, if you experience trouble because you hold on to a conviction, we need to learn the principles of how to suffer. Let's look at the scripture. Jesus was raised from the dead, Paul said. And he said, and this is why people give me a lot of trouble, because I hold this conviction. Do you know how much trouble comes when you hold the conviction that Jesus was not just a dead religious leader from yesteryear, but he is alive and well today, and he is back at his rightful place as Lord of the universe, and we owe our allegiance. Everybody on this planet owes their allegiance to him. Do you know how much trouble comes from that? Paul said, because of this, I suffer trouble. Look at this. I not only suffer trouble, but I suffer as if I were evil in holding this view. Even I get thrown into prison and in bonds. But the word of God is not broken. Look at this next verse. And Paul said, because this is what to do when you suffer for conviction. He said, I learn to endure all things and hold this conviction that other people through this conviction may also become saved. Because look at the rest of the verse. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, don't hold the conviction, he will deny us. How do you handle trouble that comes from Christian conviction? You learn to suffer. Learn the benefits of suffering. Not a very popular subject today, even in Christian circles, because we're trying to learn how to get out of it, when in fact there is some suffering that God means for us to learn great lessons from suffering. And then, what about mouth and tongue cause trouble? How do you deal with that? And the answer really is simple. And you know, I'm going to try and say this as to you as nicely as I say it to me. I need to shut my mouth and bridle my tongue, because that's where the trouble comes from. So the cure is shut my mouth. Look at this scripture. Whoso keepeth his mouth, look at this, and his tongue keepeth his soul, look at this, from trouble. And that is how you get rid of the trouble that comes from the mouth and tongue. Then what about the trouble that comes from a shortage of money? And let's conclude here with how do you handle that kind of trouble, money shortage trouble? Look at the scripture. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. Now, look at this, because the key word here is this word phrase, greedy of gain. People who are greedy to get ahead will not take the time that's necessary to practice the right principles of financial success, and that's where the trouble comes from. It isn't the money trouble, it's the greed. It's trying to find the shortcut to money that causes the trouble, instead of going by the success principles of the Bible that have to do with money. Look at the rest of this verse. In fact, let me help you, look at this. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates gifts shall live. Learn to hate that which you don't pay for with your own efforts. When I get phone calls and somebody's offering me something for free, I decline politely. And I say, well, thank you for calling, but I don't take anything from anybody for free. And usually I'm treated with silence on the other. You don't want this free airplane ticket for free? No, I'm sorry, I don't. I've learned to hate anything that's free. I only like what I pay for myself. That's what this scripture says. If you're greedy of gain, you'll trouble your house. But if you hate stuff that comes for free, you will live. And you'll not have the trouble that comes from the greed that motivates us to respond to all the freebies. I hope that today you've learned some of the great principles of Scripture that if you put them into practice will help you avoid a lot of very unnecessary trouble.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.